Good afternoon and welcome to the Follow a Company podcast. We'd like to spend a few minutes with you today talking about leadership. I hope everybody's having a great day today. We are so excited about our new Ignite Leadership program, where we'll bring leaders in from the community who will explain and really have a fireside chat with us to talk about their leadership style, the things that they've learned throughout their career, the ways they've failed, the way they've picked themselves up and moved forward. And they just kind of cap that off by some overall leadership messages that they'd like to impart upon each of us. Today, our special guest is Dr. Brad Shapiro. He is the founder of Ultimate Health, and his vision for Ultimate Health is to create a global organization that addresses the unique needs and circumstances of every individual by empowering them to achieve their ultimate health. So welcome to the studio, Dr. Brad Shapiro. Brad, tell us a little bit about yourself and your career, the journey that's brought you to where you are today.
Sure. You know, there's been a lot of things that have played into that. Just kind of give you an idea of how I grew up, because this plays into a lot of the things that I currently do. But if you can imagine, from about 5 years old on, I would come downstairs. My dad was a big Adele Davis fan, which she was a big naturopath back in the 70s. She started a lot of things that are very popular today, things like eating several small meals throughout the day, taking vitamin C, a lot of those things that are considered pretty mainstream she started with. So my dad was really into this stuff. He would have all my vitamins laid out. He would have all my protein shakes, just everything I needed to stay healthy. So nutrition, vitamins, supplements, that kind of stuff was a big part of how I grew up. If you can imagine, when I was about 13, I started with my first personal trainer. I was doing high-level soccer at that point. I really wanted to get stronger. I wanted to increase my performance from an athletic standpoint. And so I started with a personal trainer about 13. But all these things played into just this idea of learning what health and fitness looked like. From there, as I went through high school, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. My dad would always tell me, you want to come out with a marketable degree, so something that you can actually use. I think a lot of people go to school and achieve great things from a degree standpoint, but sometimes it's hard to use what they end up with. So as I started to look at different things, chiropractic just really made sense to me. I grew up around in a family with a lot of executives, especially the men in my family were either business owners or high-level executives. So I thought chiropractic, hey, I can be a business owner. I also had an affinity for health and nutrition and diet and exercise. So what better way to implement those things than to get a doctorate in something that really captures that kind of stuff? The philosophy that goes along with chiropractic really made sense to me. We call it a root cause philosophy. One of the analogies you'll hear sometimes is if their check engine light goes off in their car, you don't want to just stick a piece of duct tape over it. You want to actually understand what was the root cause, what caused that to be an issue from the get-go. But just went through this process of learning and growing up in health and fitness, learning about chiropractic. That brought me to a point where I went to Life University in Georgia. I graduated from there. I did my internship in a clinic in Chattanooga. The guy that I learned under was a chiropractor as well as a naturopath, so a doctor of natural medicine. So I learned about blood tests. I learned about, at that point, I got into a lot of emotional techniques. I realized that there were hundreds of different chiropractic techniques that I could potentially get involved with. And I just really got into this mindset of how big of a toolbox can I put together? How many different types of tools, chiropractic techniques, and different approaches to patients, how many different things can I put into one toolbox in an effort to help as many needs as possible? And so that's brought me to this point. I worked in Chattanooga for a while. Then I wanted to go out on my own. I looked at either starting a clinic from scratch or taking over an existing clinic. I fell in love with Winchester, Tennessee. I like to tell people you got the mountains, the lakes, the change of seasons, good people. Bought an existing practice here. Less than 1% of chiropractors practice the way I do with all the variety of techniques. So I was fortunate enough to find an existing practice where the doctor practiced in a similar way. took over for him, and the rest is history, and just learned a lot of different things along the way.
Why don't you share with us some of the new and exciting things that you have going on right now, with personally and within the practice?
We've got a lot of neat things going on. Really have spent time just kind of understanding what I want the vision to be like. I've prayed about it. One of my favorite things to tell people is it all starts with God's vision for your life. So I really wanted to understand what his vision for me was going to look like. And a lot of the core things that I came back to were an understanding of uniqueness and an understanding of empowerment. So to capture that, we've got a clinic in Winchester. We've got another clinic in an industrial park in Manchester. So we see a lot of people that work a lot of factory jobs and do a lot of tough labor jobs. Also working on podcasts. I do some, and I'm excited to do this one with you. It's neat to work alongside of other people. A little plug for Rob Followell, but I mean, I've gotten to know you through this process, and I consider that an exciting thing that I have going on. Just really get a chance to learn different ways of approaching business, different ways of understanding how I can grow my business, different ways of understanding what I'm even shooting for. But I consider that to be very exciting. In the process of working on a clothing line, really want to figure out, I think clothing and style and that kind of stuff can really play into how we feel and have an impact on people. Sure. So I want to do a clothing line that'll make people feel it in a positive way and make people feel like it's okay with whoever they are. One of my things I love to tell people is you are who you are. And it's amazing how many times I'm dealing with a patient where that's just so refreshing for them to hear somebody say, it's okay who you are. You don't have to be just like your dad or just like your mom or just like your best friend Bob or just like your hero. Doesn't mean you don't have a lot of respect and appreciation for those people, but you are who you are. And so we're just working in different ways to capture that type of vision and to help people and just implementing different vehicles to accomplish that mission.
I know one of the words you use all the time is unique.
Yes.
So I think that's fantastic.
I think unique is just, it's a huge thing. When I first took over the clinic in Winchester, we called it Ultimate Health Chiropractic. And then we just simply changed it to Ultimate Health. And a lot of this was with that uniqueness mindset that everybody's got different brain function. Everybody's got different genetics. Everybody's got different life experiences. Everybody's got a different personality type. Everybody's got a different metabolism, on and on and on and on. And so as proud as I am to be a chiropractor and as much as I love helping people through this thing called chiropractic, to embrace the uniqueness to help people with chiropractic, but also beyond that, is just it's something that really resonates with me. I find it resonates with a lot of other people, and it's really just been a great perspective that's allowed me to help more people.
Well, I know the audience is going to get tired of me saying that, but you know, I totally agree with you. The fact that we are all unique. In fact, John Maxwell says, to grow yourself, you have to know yourself.
Yeah,
and knowing who you are and where your strengths and your weaknesses are. And really, what are you going to hone in on? Where does God want you to be? And really, to pour it on in that area, that uniqueness is so important.
Sure, sure.
So we've talked in previous podcasts, and we'll continue. Part of this Ignite Leadership series is that things don't always go the way we hope they would. And so can you share with us a time where maybe it didn't go for you the way you hoped, what you learned from that, and then how'd you grow from that?
Well, you know, I've had several things along the way. One of the things that really stands out is when I did that internship in Chattanooga, I spent a lot of time helping this person really grow their practice. Marketing was just something that I really had an affinity for. We actually grew the practice by 60% in about 6 months, which Wow. is pretty fast for any industry or any type of business. But things didn't go so well. He didn't end up paying me what was owed me, and it was tough. It's tough to really pour so much passion and energy and time into trying to serve as strongly as you can and then not receive the reward for it. But it really was just, it was a great life lesson. For one thing, I really had to take on an attitude of gratitude. I really had to understand that despite the fact that I didn't get the money that was owed to me, man, oh man, did I learn a ton. I learned a ton. This guy was fantastic when it comes to what's called functional blood chemistries. So functional blood chemistries are something I do all the time now. And if you can imagine, when people typically have blood work drawn, it's based on, number one, it's based on a what I wouldn't consider a ton of information. Different circumstances are different, so sometimes there will be a lot of blood drawn, but for the most part, it's two or three vials of blood, just want to get the basics, really trying to rule out pathology, so really rule out cancer, diabetes, that kind of stuff, which I would want to know that too. They use what's called pathological ranges, so those are the ranges that are used. A lot of people don't realize, but there's no American Lab Association that tightly regulates that stuff. The ranges just are in large part based on the population that comes into the labs. And here in Tennessee, we're the, last time I read, we're the fifth most unhealthy state in the country.
Wow.
But what with these functional blood chemistries, one of the big differences is, number one, we look at a lot of information. So it's a very comprehensive blueprint of who a person is chemically. So it might be six or seven vials of blood. Not to scare you guys, but just it's a lot of stuff, a lot of information. And then number two, the ranges that we use are based on the healthiest cultures in the world. Blue zones where people live to be over 100. So it's much closer to what you consider real health. But that's just been a tool that I've been able to help so many people with, and something that I would have not had the understanding I currently do if I hadn't gone through that process in that clinic in Chattanooga. I also learned a ton in terms of what's called functional neurology. That's basically just amounts to this idea where if we can restore the function of the brain and the nerves, it could come through types of exercises, it could come through types of adjustments, it could come through mental emotional techniques. There's ways to remap the brain around emotions, kind of like rebooting a computer around a virus. But those types of tools, you know, again, it's many ways shaped my career. And even though I didn't get paid what I was supposed to get paid, the amount of value that I walked away with from that situation was tremendous, and something that I look back on with a lot of gratitude. It made me tougher. I learned a lot along the way. And it was yet again another example of even when you're knocked down, you can get back up, come back stronger. And it's really, really, really served me down the road.
Have there been any of those revelation moments or real turning points in your life or in your career that you're willing to share with group?
Sure. There's been many. One of the things that really has been so beneficial for me, and it's really come into stronger light as I've gotten older and as I've dealt more in business. But one of the things my dad, and you'll hear me reference my dad a lot, because wisdom, a lot of those types of components, what you would call fundamental success principles that just cross over into any area of life, whether you're talking about an athlete, a business person, a relationship, whatever, these are just fundamentals that are going to cross over. But one of the biggies that he used to always say is identify the authority on the subject. That has been so, so powerful for me. I'm amazed sometimes to watch the number of people that are getting financial advice from somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about versus finding somebody that really has the fruit, that really is an authority on the subject, whether they're an accountant or a banker or whoever. If you want to learn more about chiropractic, talk to a guy like me that's a chiropractor. If somebody wants to learn more about cooking, I'm a terrible cook. I'm a very healthy eater, but I'm not a good cook. My wife is fantastic. She's the type of person that'll sit down and go through a recipe book with 900 recipes and literally look at each one and consider each one. I mean, that would just not be something I would do, and not something that I think a lot of people would do. We might go, in our house, we might go 2-3 months without having the same meal twice.
Wow.
I mean, she just is a fantastic cook. She started cooking classes when she was a kid. But she's the type of person, if you want to learn how to cook, Melissa Shapiro, my wife, would be a great example of somebody to get in contact with. You know, you with your life experiences in terms of, you know, having managed so many people, so many different situations, the amount of mentors that you've had, and the amount of information that you've taken in over the years, you really understand what it takes to live life more skillfully and, you know, make for a wonderful life coach. But you're somebody that, you know, I would want to get in contact with to really learn more. You know, hey, Rob, what do you think about this situation? How could I manage this more efficiently? But that whole idea of an authority on the subject, identifying the smartest guy or gal in the room, depending on the subject matter, is just huge, at least in my opinion.
Do you have any examples of some of those times that you've reached out to the authority and got feedback from them or learned from them?
I have. You know, that's something that pops up clinically a lot. As the practice grows, more and more of our population is those people that have been to a dozen other doctors, half of which were specialists. They can't find the help they're looking for. We've had people drive as far as from North Carolina to come see us here in Tennessee because of some of the with the functional neurology and the functional blood chemistries and some of those things. But I say that to say a lot of these cases, it's not like I can look to page 500 in some textbook and figure out exactly what to do. And so I'll call mentors, clinical mentors. I've got a mentor in Nashville that he has people flying from all over the world to see him. He's one of the best, at least in my opinion. But I had something not too long ago where I had a patient come in that she had gone to an ophthalmologist, so an eye doctor, for years since she was a kid because she had a birthmark on the back of her eye. So they had monitored this her entire life. She went to the eye doctor. They did all the diagnostics, and in my opinion, the eye doctors may have the coolest tools out there. I mean, they just have the stuff that can measure the tiniest blood vessels and everything else. But they realized that this birthmark had grown, and they were really concerned that it was cancerous. So they gave her one of two options, either to put a patch surgically on the back of her eye to radiate the spot or to have the eye removed. She wasn't having any symptoms, nothing from a symptom standpoint, so she didn't realize it was even an issue until she had these diagnostics. She came to me and asked me if I could do anything, and to be honest with you, I'd never even heard of this type of issue. So I told her, you know, listen, I'll start digging and start contacting authorities on the subject to figure out if I can find some answers for you. I called that mentor in Nashville. He had some ideas in terms of using a laser. He knew some of the acupuncture meridians around the eyes. Threw out some different ideas, but he was like, honestly, I'm just kind of throwing out ideas. I wouldn't say I've got a ton of confidence that you should do this or that. So he recommended that I call the company where I bought the laser. It's a company called Arconia. In my opinion, they produce the best cold lasers. These are what they're considered low-level laser therapy, cold lasers. But they can be used for everything from you can do acupuncture using light versus needles. They can be used almost like natural pain injections versus using a needle. They can be used in just any number of ways. They call these lasers the most versatile tool of the 21st century. That's one of the things that they're saying about them. But I called the company, asked them if you know they had any ideas. I talked to the rep. He had some ideas, but he didn't feel confident that he could help this woman or give me recommendations to help her. So I contacted the guy that wrote the manual on the laser. It took forever to track him down. We're emailing all over the place. He's a very busy man. I eventually get him on the phone for about 30 minutes, and he coaches me through. You know, he basically says, you know, you can't use a laser to treat cancer, but from what it sounds like it's more of an inflammation component than cancer. So he said, you know, if you use the laser in X, Y, and Z places, that'll feed into the neurology that'll go into where the birthmark is, and that should help. I did it about three times on her, and she went back to her eye doctor, and the eye doctor couldn't even figure out why she was there. It was completely resolved. Wow. So that was a story of just going down the rabbit hole, continuing to find an authority on the subject. I finally found one that knew what he was talking about, and by the grace of God, it worked out. So.
Fantastic. Brad, we all continue to develop as leaders, and the purpose of Ignite Leadership is really to give us some great things, some views from different leaders around the country. Share with us just some key takeaways that we can implement, we can use today, tomorrow, going forward, that will make a difference in our leadership style and us personally and for those who we come in contact with. So what are some of those for you?
Sure. For me, I've developed what I like to call tools of empowerment. So we talked about how important uniqueness was. Kind of the other side of that coin, in some ways at least, is empowerment. How can you empower people? And this ties into leadership. But I've got a whole list that I go over with different patients and different people just in general. I cover these at staff meetings. I just think it's huge to tattoo these things on your forehead and really get them down. It's a long list. There's about 20 items here. But there's three. A lot of this stuff depends on what I'm fixated on, and there's three that I'm really honing in on. The first one is balance. The very first tool of empowerment that I have listed is balance, and that's for a reason. I think it's so important to really be focused on not allowing yourself to get too far out of balance.
What do you mean by balance?
So for me, for instance, in healthcare, whether you're talking about medical, natural, whatever, research is important. There's no question. But sometimes people take research to a level that I think would be out of balance. I've been in functional medicine seminars before where you've got somebody that has a stack of information, a stack of research from the floor to the ceiling that basically says everybody should be a vegan. There's no two ways about it. Every single person should be a vegan. This is what the research says. You're clearly, everybody should be a vegan because it clearly makes sense for everybody. Then I might be in another functional medicine seminar where it's all about paleo. Paleo is the quote-unquote caveman diet. They've got the same scenario. They've got a stack of research from the floor to the ceiling that says everybody should do paleo, or everybody should do this type of exercise, or everybody should do this type of chiropractic adjustment, or everybody should do this or that. But what happens is things get out of balance when you take it to that extreme. For our household, we might have one meal that's vegan. We might have another one that's vegetarian. We might have another one that's closer to paleo. We may have another one that's closer to the Mediterranean diet. I go through different types of exercise, and the balance for me personally is changing. Balance really intertwines with uniqueness.
I gotcha.
But I think it's a huge thing to think in terms of balance. When I was teaching this to I think he was about 6 or 7 at the time, I just simply had my son Jackson stand on one leg, and I said, what happens if you lean too far forward? What happens if you lean too far backwards or to the right or to the left? I'm going to fall over, Dad. I'm going to lose my balance. And then just led that into, you need to have balance with the way you eat, balance with the way you exercise. It's not that technology is terrible, but if you spend all your time in front of a screen, that's not healthy. But just really teaching him balance, I think the balance is forever changing. But if you can make sure to the best of your ability that your life is in balance, it's really going to help. And I think that's something that people can immediately do. Think about where you're out of balance and how you can correct that.
Gotcha.
Another big one is unity. I like to Dave Ramsey has what he calls unity killers. These are things that he feels like if you'll focus on what kills unity, it helps to create stronger unity. So these are things you want to avoid. These are things you want to watch out for. I know when I'm teaching my son Jackson or anybody else, I like to emphasize the fact that we are the United States of America, one nation. Some of those focal points really help people understand that stuff. Some of the unity killers are poor communication. You have to communicate. Sometimes people don't want to communicate because it's confrontational. I like to call those situations loving confrontation. You have to go there, but do it with love. Another thing is gossip. You know, gossip is something to stay away from. We all have to talk through our problems. We need somebody that we can trust to share with. But when you cross over into gossip and what I would call a condemnation, it's so often you'll see people in a situation where they go from sharing to condemning someone or something, and that just creates disunity. Unresolved disagreements. This is kind of that loving confrontation thing as well. You know, if there is an issue, you have to find a way to resolve it. Lack of shared purpose, you know, everybody moving in the same direction. That's if you got what I like to call sideways energy, where people are pulling in different directions, it creates disunity. And sanction incompetence, you know, if I'm clearly doing something that I should not be doing and everybody just turns a blind eye to it and, oh, that's fine, Brad, just, you know, I know he keeps forgetting to lock the front door at the clinic, but who cares? That's going to create problems. That's going to create disunity. We all need grace, don't get me wrong. Everybody falls short. Nobody's perfect. But when things clearly are allowed to happen that shouldn't be happening, it creates disunity. Last thing that I would mention is deception. One of the things I really focus on is no deception, zero tolerance for lying, fraud, trickery. You know, we all have to be honest with each other. I don't care what it is, good, bad, or ugly. Just tell me the truth. You know, if we can implement that with people, and expect that on the receiving end with, you know, the people that we interact with, it really can just make a big difference. Because when things are in the light from a leadership standpoint, you can just make much better decisions. But if you're dealing with lies, trickery, fraud, how can you deal with those situations and make good decisions when you're not even really sure what's going on?
Brad, I want to thank you for your leadership in this community and for being a part of our program today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I've really enjoyed it. Leadership is it's a big deal. It plays into something that we all have to focus on. Everybody's a leader to some capacity, whether it's with their families or in business or whatever else. I know that's a big part of what we think about with Ultimate Health. You know, how can we teach the other staff members to be stronger leaders? How can we teach our patients to be stronger leaders within their families or their sphere of influence with their friends? But leadership's it's a big deal. It's been a great experience talking with you, and maybe we can do it again here soon.
Sounds great. Well, John Maxwell says that leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. So, Brad, thank you for being on the show today. This is your host, Rob Folliwell, for the Folliwell Company and the Ignite Leadership Series, saying, make it a great day.